friends, listeners, viewers. This is the first episode of a podcast that I'm just starting kind of randomly. And I'm starting with my precious friend over here.
What's happening, people?
This is Mpo. And I'm going to talk a little bit about him, then I'll let him talk a bit about himself.
Oh, Jesus.
So something exciting we're talking about today is developing intimacy with God. Something that's been on my heart this whole time.
Come on.
And I thought that maybe I should make like a list of, you know, how to do it. But then I think it's more relatable if we just talk about our own stories.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to pick out a couple of gems from that. So Mpo and I have been friends for a while now. A while. We met at church, at probably church camp years back. And I've watched him grow. We've watched each other grow, but I think especially over the last 2 years, your relationship with God has just really blossomed.
Yeah.
And I've been drawing so much life from you, especially this past year, you know, just calling, chatting, going through some similar situations and just, you know, it's just been so good to see someone who is just as sold out, you know, and really, really about this and just watching you through the different seasons or whatever, just keep choosing him, staying tender and so many really beautiful things. So if you will please share a little bit about your journey so far, and how you have over time developed intimacy with God. Yeah.
All right. So I started when I was born. I'm playing. I got born again in 2013. That's when I chose Jesus for myself.
I met this guy before 2013.
I was a church boy. Like, I was a church, like, 5 times a week.
Yeah.
Always. Like, in church, I knew church. I knew how to do the Christian thing. But I'd never, like, pursued Jesus myself or, like, made the decision to follow him until 2013. And even then, I was trying to be, like, as churchy a boy as I could, you know, trying to fulfill all the church. Y'all remember me coming to church with the Bible, the big one, the study Bible, right? All the time. Had a shirt every time I came to church.
You did.
Every single time.
He was this small and he was wearing proper shirt.
I was trying to be that church boy. But I still think even in those seasons, there was a purity and a sincerity to like my desire for him.
Mm.
I just thought that what that would look like, the result of that should be this. I should look like this, right? And I'd say it wasn't until 2017 or 18 when I learned that I'm loved, first and foremost. That I don't need to be anything in order to, you know, be loved.
Yeah.
And that dramatically changed everything for me. And then learning, I was very dependent on so many things for my emotional upkeep. I have a very addictive personality. So there are many things that I was turning to. Maybe we'll get into that today. I don't know. Right. Until I found that Jesus could meet those needs.
Sure.
That's when I started turning to him and then being as intentional about pursuing him for my needs, because then I realized that he actually really cares about me being fulfilled.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think it's when he made me realize that his hate for sin really is, obviously it's an offense to him because it's a distortion, but also he desires for me to be fulfilled, right? He desires for me to be fulfilled and for me to drink from his cup that won't run dry. And so from that, I was like, oh, so you got a cup that don't run dry? You know, let's see how much you got in the cup.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been my pursuit since. And yeah, man, I'm crazy now.
Just to make it super practical, did Jesus come to you in a dream to tell you this? How did you figure out that, hey, actually Jesus can meet all these needs?
I was empty because I kept running to the same things and they were just not fulfilling me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man, I was... Even in those things, running back to like porn, running back to alcohol, even in those things, I'd still like hear him, like I'd feel him. I'd still perceive. I knew. I was talking about this yesterday, but I just knew he never left. Yeah. Right. I just knew he never left me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I felt like I'm tired, but I had no reason to be tired because I'm home. I can rest.
Mm.
I can sit back. I don't need to wear this jacket on, all this weight on. You're home. I can take it off.
Mm.
And I don't know. I don't know if it was like in a devotional time or whatever, but I just remember clearly knowing that he wants to meet these needs.
Sure.
And I tried him first. And it was weird. It was different. It was different. There was a transition period, but man, I found the sweeter thing and salt.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. I was listening to this podcast, Passion City DC.
Ooh.
Love it. Love so Vince Stewart. And he was saying that the root of all sin has one root cause, and it's believing the lie that God can't meet a certain need or all our needs.
Can't do.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess what you're talking about is so important because part of why we pursue intimacy, we have a lot of reasons. We could have a lot of reasons. I think people could be like, oh, it's the right thing to do, and Christians do this, and I'll be more loved if I do this or whatever. But just realizing that, to be honest, God has everything that we need. He's got every single thing that we need. And that's number one for wanting to.
Yeah, and just realizing, bro, I need him. I grew up, when I got saved, the church that I was in threw me right into leadership, right? Right, and I guess because I was really in the church for like years before I received Jesus. So they were just like, youth ministry or whatever. So I really grew like accustomed to like serving and like teaching and all of that and needing him when I need to teach or whatever. Like that's the system that I built, you know? And then realizing that, bro, I need him regardless of my platform, regardless of me interacting with people, I need him for me.
Yeah.
And out of that desperation of needing him for me, did I now realize I can't do without him?
Mm.
I don't know, I think it's Apostle Bay who shared one time saying that prayerlessness is the ultimate display of pride. And I was like, bro, that's a little. Come on, Apostle, like you can't do me like that. What you mean? What you mean? And he was like, when you choose not to pray, what you're saying is, I don't need you. I got this. And I was just like, I don't got it. I don't got it. I don't got it. So, yeah, my pursuit for him now is out of desperate necessity for him. Genuinely can't go a day because it's in like the little things. I just notice my emotional world starts to go left. Sin starts looking so much more attractive. I lose, like I'm out of touch, and I just know that I need him to maintain, to keep regulated.
Yeah.
He's the shepherd of the soul.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. That's really good.
Uh-huh.
That's really, really good.
Some good stuff right there.
Yeah.
How about you? What was your journey like?
So for me, it really began when I was born, guys.
Literally.
As a pastor's kid, you know what I'm saying? But on a more serious note, I do feel God's always pursued me. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. I have memories of, you know, just, I've shared this before actually on the channel. When I was little, I think there was like Ron Canole, is that his name? Playing on the radio.
Yes.
The guy who sings Anointing.
Yes.
So the song comes on, right? It's just a normal day. I'm probably just like walking past this one room, but I'm just like, oh, that's, you know.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's hitting a bit different. Yeah. And then just feeling drawn, I went into the lounge and I was just on the floor, I was crying. I didn't really know what was going on, but I could feel that it was the presence of God. But I didn't know how to respond.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether to pray or whatever. But I honestly have almost always felt super drawn to his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had that phase where I left. You know, just took a quick break. I wanted to see what was out there.
Mm.
And then coming back in, intimacy was a bit difficult because of just like guilt.
Yeah,
you know, shame. Shame. And sometimes feeling a sense of obligation, like, I am Christian, I should do this, but it's boring.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to.
Like, I don't actually feel like doing this, you know. But one thing I did have was a desire to understand the faith more. So like I profess, you know, this faith, and I'm like, okay, I'm in this club now, whatever, but a lot of stuff doesn't make sense to me. And I ask people around me, I ask my parents, you know, pastors or whatever, but I don't get the answers that I need. And also, even when I was talking to God, I didn't feel the decision to hear him well enough. Bible, you know, there's a lot that was going on there. School ministry was a big factor in actually developing that intimacy with God. There was a class called Developing Intimacy with God. And I'll never forget the first lesson that we learned. It was Leslie Crandall, and she was talking about how anytime you want to, you know, pursue God, for everyone in this class who, we all want the same thing, right? The most important thing to know is that you are not the initiator of intimacy. He has always been the initiator. Ooh. And that makes all the difference in pursuing God, you know, wanting to get closer. Like, and that changed everything, because just knowing that I was wanted in his presence at any point. Of course, right? It doesn't always feel like that. Like, then you have your moments of being like, you should be wanting me right now, whatever. But just knowing that that's the truth based on scripture, you know, it really makes all the difference for developing intimacy. Like, at the end of the day, as you're pursuing this, you're not the main guy pushing this.
Oh, come on.
You know, and honestly speaking, anything that we then do is just in response.
That's our only obligation, is to respond to him.
Our intimacy is actually just saying, hey, you've been calling. Even when I wake up in the morning, I'm actually responding to, you woke me up and you've been coming after my heart. You know, even realizing stuff, like sometimes you have this hunger. Like, you're just like, oh, man, I just miss God, you know? Like, I don't know. You get that feeling. It's been a minute. And that's literally actually him being like, hey, I miss you, you know?
Oh. So tender. Like, speaking on that, I remember this is a Bible study group that I just joined. And at the end of the session, we just share like prayer points, like, oh, I need you guys to pray with me for this or whatever. And this one woman was just like, yo, she really feels beat up because she hasn't been praying as much as she wants to. She didn't say that. She says she hasn't been praying as much as she knows she's supposed to be praying. And she's just been feeling weighed down by it. And before we even prayed, like, when she spoke, I didn't know why, but I just felt like, I don't think that that's God's heart for you right now. And it's like, it's difficult to share because it's like, oh, of course, God wants you to be praying. God wants you to be fasting 7 days a week. You know what I mean? But then I just remember sharing with her. I'm like, yo, any invitation of God does not leave you paralyzed by shame. That's never the pursuit of God. Like, if God's inviting you somewhere, you're excited to go. Right? That's the invitation of God. He only throws parties. Right? He only throws parties at his, and feasts and stuff like that. It's never going to leave you paralyzed, like, yo, I should be doing this. He doesn't speak through shame. He's incapable of that. In fact, it's his kindness that brings us to repentance.
Come on, right? Man. Yeah.
It's his kindness that brings us to repentance. And so once you find out how kind he's been, he's just been like, and you're there beating yourself up, yo, I should be praying. He's like, yo, you're tired. He's there like, yo, you're tired. You've had a terrible week. I have water. Right, I have a well for you to drink from, and I really want you to drink from it. But yo, don't beat yourself up. You're never gonna hate yourself to a place that you love. That's important to us, you know, right? And that's his perspective all the time. That's why he'll never shame you into righteousness. He'll only speak well of you until you become the very thing that he speaks. And so I think in this whole conversation about shame, the most important factor that she mentioned was, you're only called to respond to him. And how you know it's not him speaking is when it comes to shame, right? Anytime he invites you, you're going to go. He knows how to lead his sheep to where he needs his sheep to be. So, yeah.
That's really, really good. I heard this thing once that God doesn't view things. For example, when you have a kid, a baby, right, who's learning how to walk, your baby takes 3 steps. You only count the steps that they've taken, oh, and that is what you celebrate. So God is not looking at, he doesn't count the number of hours you haven't prayed. When you turn your affection, your attention to him for 5 minutes in a day, he's just like, oh my God.
And also he doesn't live in time. Mm. That 5 minutes is 5 minutes to you. Mm. To him, it's an eternity. Mm. And so the most important thing, I think, mm-hmm. is your turning. Mm. Regardless of how much time you're trying to put in or whatnot. The time factor, that follows.
Yeah.
That comes through with time, mm-hmm. all right? And don't now try to... Oh, that was...
Yeah, no. So good. And so the guy was just saying that, like, he can replay that image, like, for the rest of the day. That's the highlight of his day, is just... You turned your affection and you guys had a fantastic moment.
Come on.
And so I think, yeah, I guess also with developing intimacy, I know over time, like the actual amount of time can make a difference.
Yeah, it really
right?
does. It's so beneficial, actually.
It is. But it's not where we start, really. Mm. We don't start at 3 hours. We don't start at obligation. We start at genuine affection and genuine response. Like, yeah.
So good.
Really so good. So good. Really, really good. Do you have any practical, like, what did it look like when you then learned that, okay, he has everything I need?
Okay.
So next step, here's what I, how do I respond practically speaking?
Practically speaking. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Mike Todd.
Yeah.
I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
He shared this thing called the Thirsty 30.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's 30 minutes of your time in the morning or in the evening, whatever works best for you, right? And he's like, 10 minutes of prayer, 10 minutes of worship, 10 minutes of Bible reading. That formula was enough for me to get the engine starting. It's like jump starting the car. You got to push it a little bit first until the engine starts moving itself. Obviously, now my time with him isn't as structured. I've learned to navigate his presence, right? He's leading me in his presence. And honestly speaking, you never graduate in the presence of God. You only promote. Because then you'll just find the same song that used to wreck you last week. This week is just like...
A little dry here.
It's a little dry. What's going on?
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. I think... He shifts from season to season. Like, he moves in different places. And it's not because he's trying to play games with us.
Mm.
I think he's inviting us to see different sides to his face all the time.
Yes.
I realized there was a moment, the only time I'd really feel like I'm encountering him was when I listened to testimonies.
Mm.
I'd be praying, reading my Bible, doing all the things. I'm just like, this is still so dry.
Mm.
But whenever I listen to somebody just share their testimony, I'm just like, whew.
Mm.
And then later I realized he was showing me what his heart is for people and how practical he is as well. Because then I'm listening to testimonies of people talking about God bringing bread in the morning. Like, bread came in the morning, literally found bread on the door. And it's just like, wait, he cares about the small things, and that's what he's teaching me. Mm. That's the side of his face he's showing me. In other seasons, it's worship only. Like, I can't get out of worship songs. Even getting to Bible reading, and I always try to prioritize that. I can't get out of worship. And I realize in that season, he knows in that season, I need a real frame of reference for him. Like, I need to be able to see him. I need my soul to constantly be assured of how big he is and how close he is.
Sure.
And that's why he's leading me like that in that season.
Mm.
But it doesn't start like that. Like, I've learned now to navigate, to be like, oh, you're hiding. You're trying to tease me. I'm gonna find you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna find you, you know. And what's that scripture, man? It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out. I think it's in Proverbs or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God glories in hiding certain things from us because then he knows it's our glory to go and search those things out.
Yeah.
Like, once we find it, we own it. And there's like this pride to, oh my God, I found this item.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always start there. And so I think, practically speaking, what worked for me, and I've been teaching this to a lot of my friends who've just come into the faith and have really grown in the faith. You know, it's, you sometimes really need to build that discipline.
Yes.
I'm going off a little bit.
100%.
But I remember watching this marriage thingy.
Yeah.
Right. This married couple was talking about how they have 5 kids.
Mm.
They both run businesses of their own.
Mm.
You know, and so having, like, sharing intimacy between them, they had to start scheduling it because the demands of their life would really just cause them to forget, you know. And then what they started noticing was because they forget to be intimate in the bedroom, all the affairs outside of the bedroom were big. Like there was just there was no
connection.
There was always arguments and whatnot. And they realized they're missing this, so they had to start like scheduling intimacy. And for me, that was like I'm like, y'all, isn't this supposed to be organic? Like, is this always supposed to happen? And I think especially with like God as well, like I should always want to feel it. You know, I should always feel like prayer. And there are seasons where I do not, but I know I need to schedule it and be intentional about this thing so that when I'm out in the field, when we're out of the secret place, there's still a cohesion. There's a connection. There's still a harmony. Yeah. I'm still moving with the river type thing, but I need to schedule this. So scheduling really, guys, is...
It's not religion
It really isn't. Because it easily turns into that.
Yeah.
It really easy turns into that. But it isn't. The purity of it really isn't that. Like, it's so important to schedule times. And the thing is, you're not going to feel like it a lot of the time. You really aren't going to feel like it. In fact, sometimes you only start feeling it when you're
once
like...
Once you're inside.
Deep in.
Yeah.
Deep in.
Yeah.
So
building
that discipline, it is so important to have discipline in developing your intimacy with God.
Yeah. That's an important element of it. I like that.
Yeah.
I think... something that I also learned over time is that intimacy with God, yes, reading the word, you're going to find him in that, in worship and in prayer, 100%. But he is a person. He has a personality. He's not a human, but he's a person, you know, he's a being. And there's so many, and he's in everything. And there's so many spaces that he wants to engage us that we leave him out of because we're like, I don't know, God's not here. Like, he's in my prayer closet. He's, but, you know, I remember this woman talking about how she is just playing with her kids at the park and she just felt a tug from the Holy Spirit just to be part of the moment. So, you know, just like intimacy can also just be a lot of just a consciousness of his presence in
so
the
good.
Moment.
So
you know, just, and you... if he feels really close, you can feel him here when you're talking to your friends, when you're just the way where your heart is postured towards him, to him, towards his goodness, towards what he might have to say in the moment, you know, towards how you might see someone in a moment. So yeah, intimacy is also just quite extensive.
Yeah.
Like, it's really not limited to, it's just being at a place where you're like, how can I, where are you? How can I see you?
It makes me think of
Jacob.
When he's sitting at the well and he wakes up from that dream, he's like, surely the Lord was in this place. I just wasn't aware of it. Like, sometimes it's just the shifting of just, I'll choose to be aware of you in this moment. Before I walk into the store, before I leave, it doesn't have to look like, oh, shut up. No, you know, it doesn't need to look like an elaborate prayer schedule. But just before I take off in the car, before I walk into this meeting, I'm just going to take a moment now to just be aware that you're with me. I'm just going to choose right now to be aware. And I've always thought about why God whispers. Like, why the still small voice? You could save us a lot of trouble.
Hey,
you could save us.
Just shout a little.
Just shout a little louder.
Please. Man, so many troubles. Man, just
man,
avoid it, okay?
You know, come. Man. But I think... you know, one Kirk Franklin said something really powerful. I think he was talking to Maverick and he was just like, he whispers because anybody shouting is in competition with the noises around them, you know. And then for me, what I feel the reason is that God whispers is he always wants his voice to imply his closeness. Because you'll only hear the whisper of somebody who's close to you. If I want to whisper, I can't whisper even this close. I have to come even closer for me to whisper. And I think he always wants his voice to imply his presence. When you look at the number one most repeated commandment in scripture, fear not, for I'm with you. I think that also goes into being able to always know that you can hear. Like, fear not, like the counter for my fear, right?
Yeah.
Or the counter for my anxiety is always being able to be like, no, I can hear him. And because I hear him, I know that he's close. So,
Yo!
So,
yo! That is really, really good. Really, really good. I think sometimes when you hear people talking, right, and they say a bunch of stuff, or discipline, blah, 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 then it can be like, does feel lofty. Oh, you guys have arrived, you know.
No, you guys are good, Moss.
Yeah, you're fine. And I don't think there is arrival.
There's no graduating.
Yeah. Relationship is relationship. And I don't think then you master it. And sometimes if you're like me, you want to have a set of rules. Like, guys, give me that list of 6 things that you do and I'm going to do this and I'm going to be sorted for the rest of my life. Yeah. But unfortunately, it doesn't really work that way. There are certain things that are just, you know, pretty basic, standard things. Read your Bible, pray every day. Sure. But in developing your intimacy, it's not going to go one way. And there's so much that I'm still learning. I think recently I went through a disappointment over something. And I, you know, was like, I was mad, you know, initially. Like, frankly, I was just like, God.
This is ghetto.
This is the ghetto. Also, I thought you were here, you know, just obviously I'm still going through it now and just learning about like how God comes into disappointment as well and, you know, how he heals the broken heart, etc. But initially I felt like I'm not even going to talk to God about this because he saw it coming and he still let it happen. And look, our logic can be like that sometimes. And then I read Philippians, I think it's 4, just about don't be anxious, but in everything through prayer and supplication, make your, you know, your what requests be made known to God, all of that. So then I started being like, okay, it's fine. I'm not going to be mad anymore. I'm sorry, God. I'm going to start praying. But now a lot of my prayers then turn to just being like, thanks for everything you did for me. Thanks that I woke up this morning. My family's still okay. I'm just a little sad because, you know, and then going on to list all my requests and all of that. And then I got a word literally just yesterday about how, you know, intimacy isn't just listing out your problems. So then I had to do a flip now where I'm like, oh God, I'm so sorry that this is part of your word, right? Where I do lay things down, but that's not complete intimacy. Yeah. It's not a, I need to also then be like, what's on your heart?
Yeah, because prayer is an exchange.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's on your heart? What are you feeling about me, about the people around me? What do you want to do, you know?
Exchanging perspective.
Exactly. Man,
let's go.
Because it's good that I get to tell him directly as opposed to telling other people what I'm sad about. It's good. But then he wants to talk too. He wants to be like, hey, here's what's on my heart. And you're the person that I love and trust. So I think also just that perspective, you could see it's an exchange. So you can follow the formula all you want and pray all the prayers for 100 hours. But if you're not taking the time to also just listen to him, then it's incomplete, you know.
Man. That just got me thinking like that. I want to know, what's your journey been like with the voice of God and being able to hear him speak to you? What's your journey look like? Were you always able to hear him as clearly? Or was there like a journey in really navigating how he speaks to you?
I think I was fortunate enough to grow up in a church that was quite prophetic. So from, you know, when we were little, we would just have these exercises, lots of opportunities to be like, okay, guys, what are you hearing God say? And maybe someone will just say, it's likely going to be a still small voice or whatever. And because you're a kid, you believe so easily. So I just did that and it was pretty easy, to be honest. And then growing up, had more doubts and just, you know, be more self-conscious or whatever. But you do have the memory of God talking to you. So I, at least, always just knew that he could, you know. And then coming back into the faith and the space where people were hearing from God, I think, honestly, it was just practice again, especially in, like, social settings. Yeah. Like, when we're all praying together and it's like, so what is God saying, guys? And then you're like, maybe I guess he is talking. And just, you know, that scripture where in John, I don't remember, John 10 probably, where Jesus talks about how my sheep.
John 2.
Yeah. Know my voice. They
they hear me and follow me.
Yeah. And so meditating on that and just assuring myself that I do hear from him because he lives inside me now.
Yeah.
And then practice. Yeah. Really, it was just practice, so you know. And then growing in confidence.
Oh, yeah. That's another.
Yeah, I feel this might be a bad comparison, but a bit like I remember driving. Initially, I learned how to ride, but I did not have confidence. Like, I was always super careful, whatever. And just, but then the more I did it, the more I was comfortable. Like, I've heard him before, and
almost the more risk you took.
Yeah. Mm. And then I was like,
let's try fifth gear.
And then it's like, oh, okay, I got this. Yeah. And then a big one is obviously scripture, knowing that God doesn't speak anything against scripture, you know. So that's also a pretty good guide.
Yeah.
And then having safe spaces to try.
Yes. So, and to make mistakes.
So I'd say something and it's kind of inaccurate, and then someone's like,
I don't know about that one.
But I know in the most loving way. Yeah. Like, it's just really been practiced over time, and not doing it alone, because you know, unfortunately, in the faith, it's also pretty easy to think you're hearing from God. And because it's such a personal experience, you're going to say whatever you want, and no one can argue, right? Because, he told me. And then you go into a whole bunch of weird stuff because dangerous stuff, because you're pretty isolated. So it's just, family, practice, and the word, the Bible.
I never knew how to perceive him. I think I always struggled because I'd hear people say, I heard God. So I'm like, oh, you heard him. So like, you heard him like audibly, right?
Yeah.
So I'd always struggle with that. I'd always just be sitting in the room just like, when you're probably not coming through, especially when we're in church and I see everybody's like, you know, like encountering God or whatnot. So I'm like, you're here.
It's clear. Okay, you're around.
Like, you're around. I can see. Like, you're in the building, fam. Let's go, you know?
Yeah.
Never had, because also back then I'd only come to like church once or twice in a year where I'd be in that space. And then my mom's church, they never taught hearing from God or whatnot, you know? So for me, that was like an elitist concept, right? Like, oh yeah, this is the elite group of people that really hear God. Because then they're also prophesying accuracy. Like, oh, y'all really elite. Like, y'all move different, fam. Like, even at the heat of battle, you don't miss, fam, you know? So for me, I knew he could speak because I've been around y'all. I knew he could speak. I just didn't think he could speak to me. But then what I didn't realize is he speaks to me how I'll hear him. You know, God speaks my language. I know to some people they see things. They're seers. Some people, like, you feel something, you know, you'll feel compassion, you'll feel whatnot. I know for some people, you hear, like, I know some people who've heard audibly. Some people just hear a still small voice or whatever. For me, I get like a knowing. I feel like I just know something, and I have no point of reference for why I know this. So I'm like, it must be God. Obviously, that was my trial and error period, but it's just like, I feel like you're this. It's just like,
no, I'm not.
Good looking, fact, you know, and I'll walk right back. But one thing God taught me, and I remember this was in like 2016. I went to my uncle's house. All right. I went to my uncle's house in Swaziland. He had one of three Toyota Hiluxes. You know, the baby blue ones. The box-shaped baby blue Toyota Hilux. Yes, he had that. And he's had that banger since it dropped, right? It's still moving to this day, right? Now that beast, we were washing it in 2015 or 16. I can't remember which year it was. We were washing it, and now he's playing radio. I'm like, wait a minute, when did you fix the radio? It's always been broken. You finally fixed it. He's like, it was never broken. I'm like, you're telling me all of those those long road trips, that car isn't even comfortable, fam. So now there's no music even to listen to. Like, it was just terrible. I'm just like, why would we suffer all along? And he's like, this car is old. I can't afford not to listen to the engine. I can't afford not to listen to the sounds that the car is making, you know? And I'm like, for us, the sound of the engine is such a background noise. It's so background. It's happening in the back. We're never paying attention to it, you know? And it's because we've got noise coming in. And I realize in seasons for me, when I'm really struggling to hear God or to perceive what he's speaking, I know I've got way too much radio going. Oof. I've got way too much. I need to withdraw myself, put myself in a place where I can now hear him, you know? I think, speaking about the still small voice, the scripture is I always get the reference wrong, but it's when, is it Elijah, went up into the mountain, and God was like, go up to this mountain, I'm going to meet with you, right? So Elijah goes up into the mountain, expecting the presence of God, right? And then there's an earthquake, there's a fire, there's all this wind, there's all these things that happen, and he keeps saying, but the Lord was not in the fire, the Lord was not in the earthquake, he was in the still small voice. And I think there's so many things that happen, really, as a result of his presence. Sometimes, even when we're at church, you start weeping, like, oh my God, you know? Never leave those moments without hearing what he's saying. But they're also, and it's not, I'm not saying seek to understand. Sometimes God will take your heart places your mind will take years to reach. You know, there are encounters that I had in 2013 that I'm only understanding what God was doing now, but I always heard, like, always seek to hear, always seek to know what he's speaking. He's not in, like, the emotional gymnastics game. He's not trying to have you roll on the ground for the sake of rolling on the ground because it's cool. I think we get trapped in, like, this euphoric feeling, chasing type thing, and we were always trying to have this feeling or whatnot, but he's always trying to speak, and he's always in that still, small voice.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's what I'd have to say on that.
Really, really good. Solid, solid stuff.
Yeah.
I think what helps with that as well is just having an understanding, and it's in the Bible as well, and there's a bunch of resources online, of just the different ways that he can speak.
Yeah.
So, you, like you said, a knowing, just this impression, like, I kind of feel like...
Yeah.
And then dreams, obviously, and then there's pictures in your mind or just a feeling. So there's a bunch of different stuff. And again, it's like with the whole intimacy thing, some seasons he's just not talking the way you're used to him talking, honestly speaking. Yeah. He's doing something else. Oh, so
this is so weird. Can I, sorry to interject. Yeah. I just remembered we were at camp.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm a big Marvel head, right? I love Marvel, right? I love superhero movies. So we're praying, we're all together, you know? And then now I see this one kid. And then I get such a generic word. Like, okay, I see little wallets flying away from him. It looks so stupid. I'm like, oh, what is this? And then he's like, I'm going to provide for him in such a crazy way. And I'm just like, man, that's so generic. Like, oh, God's going to supply. He's like, oh, come on, you don't need me.
He's going to supply all our needs. Come on. Please.
You know? But then I chose to obey. Like, I'm like, okay, I tell this kid, yo, God's really going to supply all he needs. And then, like, once I obeyed that first line, then he started adding. This kid fell to the ground from the prophetic word. And I was just like, it's a little dramatic, to be honest. Let me move this way, right?
Yeah.
I only got context later that apparently this kid had an attempt on his life the week before because there was no provision for him to go to the university he wanted to go to. They're at that university right now, you know, which is which is mad profound.
Whoa.
Then in that same day,
whoa,
I remember seeing this one girl,
and
I see this scene, like, this is the Marvel thing now, where y'all remember, is it Far From Home? It's not Far From Home. It's the first Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland. Right, his first Spider-Man movie, where now there's this ship, there's a scene where the ship is now split in half somehow, and it's now falling apart. And then he comes in, like, he webs everything in the middle, and he's trying to, like, pull it back together, right? But then obviously the weight is just too much for him. And then Iron Man comes through with, like, the suits, there's rock, there's thrusters all over the ship, and now it's bringing it back together. He's there with the suit, gluing it all, it's like, it's done, you know? I see that scene. And we're praying, right? And the thing is, for me as well, I have such a, like, my attention span is like, it's like this. So I'm like, bro, we're praying. Why are you thinking about a Marvel scene? And then God was like, nah, lean into that. I'm like, what? Then I look at this girl and immediately I understand she's been for years trying to hold her family together, right? For years, has been trying to hold her family together. And what now, what the father wants to do is what Iron Man did. Is coming. Right? It's come in and hold everything together. So I'm like, I didn't get that full word until I went in and I'm like, yo, I don't know if you watch Marvel. Right? I don't know if you watch Marvel. But you remember the scene when I share the whole thing? And then once I shared, bear in mind, she's still confused. She's like, why is this guy sharing a Marvel thing? But now we're in, like, a really hyper-spiritual moment. So now this guy's coming talking about Marvel. Only when I share that, now God starts to make sense about everything that I just shared about the family. When I share that, she weeps, you know? She also had like made an attempt on her life in that year, because she felt like she was the one holding her family together and she was only supposed to be the child. Yep. And then the father wants to come in and prove to her that she is just the child.
Wow.
So I'm sharing that to say there are so many different ways God speaks to me. I don't always get prophetic words for people through a Marvel thingy, but God is so...
dynamic.
So dynamic. And I think I love that about him. Mm. It keeps things really spicy.
Spicy, you know? Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Never
yeah.
monotonous.
Yeah. And I think it's quite a comforting word to hear, because if you think there's a formula,
mm.
and maybe that, oh man, I don't really fit into that formula, there's probably room for you. In yeah. fact, I'm certain there is room for you.
Yeah.
And we can encounter him at all times. I think we weren't meant to meet him on Sundays at church. Whoa. We weren't meant to only yeah. meet him.
Yeah.
He's in everything. Colossians chapter 3, he holds everything together, even us,
yeah.
you know, and I think he invites us, he wants to be part of the mundane.
Yeah, I mean, he came to Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of day.
In the cool of day.
Not in the heat of a moment, in the cool of day. Come on, somebody.
Oh my God. No, but on the real, I really think he yeah. does, and I know sometimes people are like, What's God going to be doing when I'm yeah. trying to make a TikTok with yeah. my friends, yeah. you know? But I yeah. think, I don't know, and just the awareness of him as a father, as a friend, as a... It adds to the richness of everything that you're experiencing. And being able to reach out to him in a really fun moment. And kind of like when you're playing with your friends, but your dad's in the corner and you just smile back. And you can see he's enjoying watching you, you know, play.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have that reassurance of just him being there, and then being able to reach out as well when you're not so good, because you've cultivated the awareness of his presence constantly, so that when you do need to turn back, you know he's there, you're not confused yeah. about it. You know how is it Hebrews that talks about coming boldly to the throne of grace
and to obtain mercy.
To obtain mercy. Yeah. Especially when you need it.
Come on.
Especially when
I'm just thinking about now we're talking about like needing mercy and all of that. And also the reference I made about Adam and Eve in the garden. They were hiding, right? This God came in the cool of day looking for them because he couldn't find them. And that paints a picture of God's response to our shame. Right? Our shame tells us we need to hide. He doesn't want anything to do with us. He's pursuing. And then you look at him banishing them from the garden and you're like, that is so harsh. But I think that was also the display of a father's heart, because in that same garden that he banished them from was the tree of life, I think.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody teach that if they had eaten from that fruit,
they would have lived
forever in that fallen condition.
Yeah.
And the reason he had to expel them was so that he could perform his redemptive plan. Like that's his heart. His heart has always been connection. Even when he banished them out of the garden, he had a plan for it. He's like, you know what, Satan, there's gonna be a woman who's gonna give birth to a son, and that man is gonna crush your head. I love the drama. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. You know, but
man,
I think shame is really a stumbling block in our pursuit for like intimacy.
Yeah.
I know that's been one for me personally.
Yeah.
It's always been a stumbling block. And when you realize his heart for you in your shame, Adam and Eve already hiding. They'd already covered themselves up, you know, covered up their nakedness, their exposed nature. And God's heart for that is to always find where you're at, because it's not like he couldn't find them geographically. He was like, I don't see you guys. Not because I can't find you geographically. He's omnipresent. There's no tree you can hide behind, you know. But what had moved was their hearts, and they were just hidden in shame. And he's just like, nah, where were you? Come to me. I miss you. So yeah, that's, I just wanted to speak on that.
I love that so much. I think for me, that's the biggest takeaway when it comes to developing intimacy. Yeah. Just God's heart is for connection.
Always.
And he wants me.
Always.
And always. I don't think I could ever want him as much as he wants me. Ooh. You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to read some scriptures here that I really like, that to me are a display of that heart for connection.
Let's
go. So Jeremiah, New Living Translation, that's what I'm reading from. Jeremiah chapter 3:19, it says, this is God talking now. I thought to myself, I would love to treat you as my own children. I wanted nothing more than to give you this beautiful land, the finest possession in the world. I looked forward to your calling me Father, and I wanted you to never turn from me.
That's his heart, yo.
That's his heart. That's what he wanted. There's Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So when the fullness of time had come, which means he planned it.
Yeah.
It was always within his plan. I'll read one more.
Come on.
I really like these, man. Because I just like,
come on.
This is a foundation of the gospel for me. It's that I'm wanted. And I've been wanted. You know. Anyway. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 9. Even before he made the world, God loved. What are you saying to me?
Stop the cap. What you mean, fam?
Dude, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And that's always just been intimacy.
That is good news.
It's man. The good news. That's it. Like,
that is good news.
Yeah. The good news is, hey, every day I want you. And you may be going through the most. You may be doing the most. But every single day, what you do doesn't change my mind. Because as it turns out, even before the world was made, I loved you. And I wanted to be in intimate relationship with you. So... guys, if you're going to take one thing from this, just keep trying every day. Like, yeah. Just keep trying because you want it every single day. That's hard for you
always. And there's not a thing that you can do.
Yeah, that's not what keeps me going.
Right?
You know, I'm not always getting it right.
Oh.
I'm not always getting it right. But I know I'm wanted. The Bible tells me so. So, yeah. Final words.
Final words. We were designed to be intimate with him.
Yeah.
Everything about us, everything that he designed us for intimacy, right? He designed us to be close to him.
Yeah.
We were made to be more alive to him than we were dead to sin.
Ooh.
Right? Mm. That what sin did is a joke compared to what God had intended for us, right?
Mm.
And so, God's the type to... how am I going to say this? Sin separated from us, right? So God, the Bible teaches us that sin separated us from him, but his redemptive plan was to make a mockery of that. And so if you felt like you were far because of sin, his plan for closeness supersedes what sin could have ever done. Does that make sense? And so that's, if there's anything you take away from this, is know his heart for you, know his desire from you, and all you have to do is to respond. Take the pressure off. You're not the one that makes you Christian. I think is it Jude? Praise be to him who will keep us from stumbling or whatever. He keeps us stumbling. He's the shepherd because he has the responsibility to keep us in the fold. And we're the sheep because we have the tendency to wander. But remember, he's the shepherd because he has a responsibility to keep us within the fold. We just have to make sure that we're hearing because he leads by his voice. That's what I'm saying.
He's out. He's out. The boy's out. That was fire, man. That was fire. This was really good.
This was fantastic.
Thank you for doing it. We should do this again. We should do this again. Talk about some more stuff. So exciting. And yeah. Takes the pressure off.
Yeah.
You know, I think Matthew 11, I think, just talks about how your burden is... easy, your yoke
yes
is light
yes
and there's always this misconception that like oh Christianity is so difficult. And look, there are some things that you must do. Okay, we have certain, you must carry your cross, work out your salvation with fear trembling. Oh, look, there's some certain things that you must do. But honestly, God is easy to love because he loved us first. Yeah. Like, responding is easier than initiating. So,
and the thing about grace is that it gives us the ability to walk in that thing.
Yeah, that's also it.
Yeah, grace. Like it's not our desire to walk in some of the things that God calls us to. But when God says, "I want you to be holy, even as I am holy, he is not a cruel father that sets the standard up here, knowing that you can only reach this. He's like, no, come here, keep reaching, knowing that you'll never reach it. If he has said it, it's because he's released the ability for you to walk in that thing as well. And so even in your pursuit for holiness, in your pursuit for purity, he's released the grace for you to walk in that thing. And so,
and for intimacy as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, guys, we're good.
We've done it.
We're good. All right.
Catch you on the next one, people.
Yeah, on the next one. This is exciting. It's going to become a thing. Podcasts.
Hey.
And love y'all. See you. Subscribe and follow and stuff.
Do the thing, people.
Bye-bye.